Well, we're talking to our regular guests from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection today. I'm Jill Nadeau. Glad to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Michelle Reinen is back with us. She is the policy advisor with the Consumer Protection Group. And with her in the studio, Lara Sutherland. She is the administrator for the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Well, it's February, and it's time to look at the top 10 consumer complaints list of 2019. And we'll also talk about ways to avoid scams during spring break traveling and the ever-present tax identification theft problem. We want to hear from you, too. Do you think that you may have been scammed? Do you have a question about something on our list here? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Michelle, Lara, thanks for being with us again today.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Okay, it's a time again. We've got our list. Let's start from the bottom, Michelle. What was number 10 on your list?
Number 10 on the list, fresh out of the release today, is computers and equipment. And what we're talking about here is someone purchasing a computer, computer equipment, the legitimate devices.
Hard goods.
Yep, not the actual scams or anything in that relation. And what consumers complained about were the quality of what they received based on the representation or that product would be defective. And it's 102 complaints, you know, out of the more than 10,000 that we received for 2019. So a significant group, but yet a small group of what makes up that top 10.
Now, do you get people complaining about things that they've purchased in the state only or also online?
These complaints are everything.
Okay.
Anything that a consumer purchases. So it could actually be an international purchase, you know, but our jurisdiction issues in trying to resolve things, but that's possible.
Okay.
It could be out of state, in state. It could be online, brick and mortar store. It's consumer interactions that they have and file a written complaint with us about. This isn't when consumers just call us about a question or issue. These are the things that we have in writing and try and mediate and could move to investigation based on whatever we're seeing.
Okay, so 102, that's not too bad. So then on number 9, what do we have for that?
Number 9 is gas pumps. There's about 119 complaints, again, out of the over 10,000. And these complaints primarily deal with consumers who are concerned about gas pump accuracy and obviously credit card skimmers that you often see on these pumps.
So that's not too bad either, because I've heard a lot about skimmers in particular.
Yes, that's right. It's actually not that bad. And part of that is because we have a great group of inspectors in the field that stay on top of this and inspect them. Our accuracy rate is quite high. I think it's over 90%, close to 99%. Mm-hmm. And so we have around, 60 inspectors in the field that are really staying on top of this. And the industry really appreciates that, actually. So it's a nice relationship we have with industry, and it's doing a good job keeping consumers safe.
And I'm sure consumers are happy to hear that, because I know it's kind of, you know, you never know when you go to get your gas, whether it's going to be legit or not. So
yeah, there's a lot of savvy consumers out there as well looking for those skimmers based on everything that they've learned over the years, which is fabulous because it can tip us off. But those inspectors, when they check for that accuracy, they're also looking for those devices and then work with law enforcement when those things are identified.
Okay. Then number 8.
There we have motor vehicle sales. So the Department of Transportation is our main, they have dealer regulations in the state. That is typically what you think of when you're buying a vehicle, and in lemon law situations, you'd go to the Department of Transportation. But these are motor vehicle sales. If you are under 5 sales a year, you might not need to be registered. And so consumers complain to us, or these could be Craigslist listings, private sale situations. But there is a little overlap as it relates to representations in that sale, or that leather isn't purely leather type situation.
Sure.
It's pleather. So we could get involved, and we're a source to receive complaints. And back and forth with DOT, we make sure they get to the right home, if you will, if for regulatory purposes. Mm-hmm. But there we just had the 141 complaints dealing with that motor vehicle sales.
Okay. And then kind of related to that is number 7.
And here again, we have motor vehicle repair. So they're kind of that partner thing with that vehicle. Very important in our state as it relates to consumers moving around. And motor vehicle repair, what we're dealing with here could be workmanship issues. You know, is the quality of work really what I expect it to be? But we have regulations in the state that say when you take your vehicle in, you're supposed to indicate how you want that service to go. You can just say, hey, I know that it's going to cost this amount, and just put that down and you can repair it up to here. Or don't do anything, but you can tell me how much it's going to be. And so I'm not authorizing any work until I know. Or go ahead, fix it. No, you know, whatever it is. But sure, you have to sign one of those three things when you okay. drop it off face to face. And so it's about that repair transaction and how that went and used parts, new parts situation. And there we had the 196 complaints. So you can see we're creeping up into big numbers now. We're going to start increasing.
So let's go up to number six, which we're going to probably talk about a little bit later too. But that is?
That is identity theft. And it remains at number six as it was last year. And there we have about 228 complaints, or not about, we do have 228 complaints in this area. And, you know, identity theft is obviously a big concern of ours, and a lot of the imposter scams sort of lead into this concern over identity theft. So folks often complain about whether or not whether they've actually been victims or getting information to prevent themselves from becoming victims, and we really appreciate getting these calls because we have a nice toolkit that we can help people prevent identity theft. And if they have become a victim, walk them through ways in which they can secure their data. These complaints predominantly deal with fraud around tax ID theft, the misuse of a social security number, unauthorized access to accounts. Of course, we constantly hear about data breaches, and consumers will call in the wake of a data breach and concerned about identity theft. So again, we like to hear from consumers so we also know the kind of scams that people are being exposed to, and we can get more information out there, and then we can walk folks through ways in which they can put a credit freeze on, a fraud alert, check their credit report, any number of things to get to protect their identity.
Because it's very, very complicated, isn't it?
It is complicated. And the more our technological, you know, sort of marketplace extracts more and more data from us, the more this is an issue, as you know. And it's part of the reason, if not the main reason, that the department has launched what we have launched in last summer, which is a data privacy and security council, where we are going around the state, listening to consumers, hearing what their concerns are, listening to businesses, hearing what their concerns are, and really grappling with the way in which our laws can be modernized to deal with data privacy and security and when breaches happen. So it's a very complicated issue. Data is stored in healthcare and finance and insurance and education, you name
everywhere.
It. Yeah. Everywhere.
It's everywhere. Yeah. Okay. All right. Number five we are up to then, Michelle.
Here we have medical services. Sorry about that.
Okay. We all have colds.
That's right. 299 complaints, just about to the 300. So it increased over last year, and okay. we tried to do a lot of messaging around this as well, that if consumers have issues with their medical bills that and they're not able to resolve these themselves, or if they're feeling that they're being misrepresented to as to what something would be covered or not, that we want to hear about these complaints, and we're here. It's an area where we do mediation, and we look at the issues, and it's incredibly complicated as well. And while we don't get into the insurance side, you know, will insurance cover this or not, our partner agency, Office of Commissioner Insurance, does regarding your insurance coverage. So it's important to use the services that are available to if you're unable to resolve the issues yourself. We want to continue to look at this area of what's happening. These can also include frauds that are happening with medical services as well. So it's an important area that we see growing as a consumer issue in the state of Wisconsin.
So really important for people to look over those bills, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it can be difficult, but you need to, if you're having a complicated situation, you need to keep track of the appointments, what you're getting billed for, what you've been told about coverage, in response times and appeals processes and in all of those situations. And do you have an insurance plan or do you have maybe a subscription for services for patient care and what that covers? So really know the product that you're purchasing.
Okay. And then up to number four. Lara, what's that one?
Number four is home improvement. And Wisconsin has a significant number of laws to really protect consumers in terms of home improvement and contractors. There's a lot of requirements with respect to the contract itself, the disclosures you have to have relating to a lien and a waiver and cancellation and timing. And so as a result, it generates a fair amount of complaints, and it always does. And we are have a robust group of investigators that spend a lot of time actually working with consumers and contractors alike trying to get into compliance with the law, get their contracts correct, and when they're not, getting consumers restitution when they're entitled to it.
Michelle, did you have something
well,
to add?
Well, I guess I could add that in this category is also going to include the situations Lara's talked about, but some of those storm chaser situations that we see spike after some of the floods that we've had, or whether it's hail damage, or if it becomes those fall blacktop situations where you're trying to just get a deal, or they're promoting a deal that you can get. So it's not just the typical everyday home improvement contract. It goes into that realm of the storm chaser or transient worker, if you would, with the truck of supplies.
Okay. Then number three.
Here we have telecommunications, and this issue, you know, what is that?
So it's a broad area.
It is a pretty broad category. Yeah. So it is your internet service provider. It is your cable, your satellite, your landline issues with long distance. It can be your cell phone. It is not just for name examples, a Netflix, a Hulu. It's not a streaming service or package that you could receive in order to watch different programming, but it's everything else type situation. And here we have issues of billing disputes. You know, I thought I was going to get this in my subscription and package, and it included this many minutes or this type of speed or these channels or stations or programming, and then that doesn't happen. Or you're supposed to have coverage throughout the entire state, but you go here and you have nothing. So it's those representations and what you're supposed to have. And so it could be the dropout situations. It could be billing disputes. It could be disputes because you're not notified of an increase, but you're on a 1 or 2 year contract, and so you shouldn't have an increase situation. And just service quality. And now we're starting to see some issues where we're getting complaints about outages, and then that response of what's happening in regards to that outage as to whether or not things will be fixed. And we're really looking at that situation as to where do we fit in that situation. So again, another category that's really important to hear from consumers about, and that industry is constantly changing as well, and things are merging and not merging and unmerging, so it's getting complicated. But we're at over 680 complaints now, so we've taken another pretty big jump in our complaint totals.
So number two is even much larger jump, 1,128. Tell us about that, Lara.
That's landlord-tenant. And no surprise that when you're talking about housing, that you're going to run into a lot more complaints because it's vital, obviously, to people. So these complaints typically deal with security deposit-related issues, evictions, unauthorized entry. We are seeing a lot of these complaints often coming out of areas. Milwaukee has a significant eviction problem. We've seen that written about quite a bit in the Journal Sentinel. We're also doing some more work of trying to get out in the field and doing some listening sessions to hear from folks about the kind of issues that they're having with landlord-tenant. The law has changed a great deal when it comes to landlord-tenant laws. The state law has, and cities are changing their ordinances to address some of the gaps in the law. So we're seeing more complaints in that space, and we're trying to get out in front of it and hear from consumers what kind of experiences they're having. We also have a great guide for landlord and tenants because landlords and tenants obviously have rights under the law, and it's perfect. It's a nice guide for people to have to understand what their rights are, and maybe they can resolve some of these issues themselves.
Getting everybody on the same page makes a whole lot of sense.
Absolutely.
So we're up to number one, but we're going to make people wait.
It makes sense.
This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Nigel O'Shea is our technical director today, and Natalie Guyette is our on-air producer. We're talking consumer protection today with our guests from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They are Laura Sutherland and Michelle Reinen. What consumer questions do you have? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. We've got a few lines open. Or you can always send us an email, and that's ideas@wpr.org. I should have had Nigel look for a drum roll, ladies, but we don't have it. What's the number one top 10 consumer complaints for 2019?
My guess is if people could call in, they would be able to guess this.
Oh, yeah,
but it is telemarketing again.
Oh, yeah.
At 4,244, and it has been the top complaint for some time. The difference this year is the number of complaints in that category actually has dropped. And so we've been asked a couple times why that is. Part of it is consumers are getting savvier about all of these spoofing calls, because these telemarketing complaints are the bulk of them are spoofing calls, calls where people are changing their number and you don't know where you're getting them, where they're coming from, and violations of also the no-call list. Consumers are getting more and more savvy about whether they should be answering these calls. And in addition, the federal government passed a law in December of last year called the TRACED Act. And this act requires authentication of phone numbers by our carriers. Now, some carriers have already been doing that without the act in place, but now they're required to get that done. And what that authentication software does is it allows carriers to determine whether the number coming in is a valid number and it's attached to a human being or a business that has any business calling you. And if it's not, they can either block it or notify the consumer. So oftentimes you'll get a text or a pop-up that says this could be a spam call, so you know not to answer it. That's really helpful in bringing down these calls. In addition, the TRACED Act provides more penalties for when you do violate the act, and it also gives more resources to investigation for couriers, these telephone couriers, to start working with the federal government and the state government to really get to the bottom of these spoofing calls. So our hope is next year this time that number will continue to go down and some of these calls will stop getting through to consumers.
Well, that's great information. In fact, now that I think about it, I have had fewer calls from weird numbers, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought it was just, you know, I was just lucky, but apparently something's working in the background.
Well, we really hope to see a significant decrease in 2020 and, you know, be able to really change up where some of our focus is based on this authentication protocol. It can be a fabulous thing for consumers. And, you know, one thing we're fully aware of is that often when we get a fix, these scam artists they're ready for the next step and they're going to use that. So we're going to need to hear from consumers as to what that is. Mm-hmm. We're going to be on the watch for it. We're going to work with our partners in regards to it, but we really are going to need to hear from consumers as to what their experiences are.
And how can they get a hold of you?
They can call 1-800-422-7128, or if they have an issue where they want to file a complaint, they can go directly to our website and we have online complaint forms, or they can download one as well and mail it in. And that is datcp.wi.gov. There you'll also see our email address, so they can just email us the question. If calling us during business hours doesn't work, that during business hours staff will respond to emails and provide information that way as well.
And I do have a link to that page on our program note. So if someone wants to go from there, it's just WPR.org/Larry. And it's a great one-page website that's got all the information, very simple for that kind of information.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to the phones. They are starting to ring here, and we've had Vern on the line for a little bit. He's over in Boyd. Hi, Vern.
Oh, good morning. Yeah. I was in the Air Force. I was a mechanic and everything else. And now, real quick, they're related. Now, GM produced the Arcadia in 2010. They used what's called a continuously variable valve timing chain. They're subject to catastrophic failure. They're used on most of the engines nowadays. And these dealers inspect them. They don't tell you the problem. My relative bought one of these, and the next morning the timing chain failed. And then they have other problems with them. But if you look up timing chain issues, GMC, Mazda, you'll find them all. The other thing is your battery chargers should have rubber cables so they don't crack out in the cold because they can electrocute you.
Okay, well, thanks, Vern.
Yeah, that's a great tip and reminder for consumers as it relates to the cable aspect. And, you know, regarding the chain and how that works, so if it was a brand new vehicle and something faltered right away the next day after purchase, there's likely going to be that manufacturer warranty, and you're going to go back to the dealer where you purchased the vehicle. If you're outside a window of time, but it seems like a safety issue that's failing early, irresponsibly, that's where the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration comes into play, as well as it relates to defects and recalls at the national level with manufactured parts for motor vehicles as well. So, you know, if he hasn't filed a complaint or is aware of this, he can always be sure to communicate with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and bring those concerns there. But they're likely under review if they're having such a failure rate.
Okay, thank you. Let's go now to Milwaukee, and we've got Dave with us. Hi, Dave.
Great program. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I have a question about residential renting. My husband and I ran into a little snafu this year financially, and we couldn't make several of our rent payments, and our landlord is trying to, I guess, put us in a court situation, some type of eviction. And, you know, I called him. I said, listen, I understand. You know, this, we have a reason why, you know, because one of us lost, together we were making significant money, but one of us lost his job and through no fault of his. And as a result, we're unable to make about 9 months of the payment. I'm just wondering how I can get this guy in trouble for what he's doing, trying to evict us, because he is a bad white and he's breaking law. He shouldn't be evicting us. So I just need help to stop him and to find a way to catch him up and assist somehow.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. Situation is not fun for anybody, I'm sure. What's his best way to work with this?
So, Dennis, thanks for calling. And I'm sorry to hear, oh, I'm sorry, Dave, I'm sorry to hear you're running into problems with your landlord. There are requirements, obviously, that you pay rent, and landlords obviously have the right to require that from you. But there are also other rights to cure that you have. So I would suggest that you give a call to our hotline and talk to our folks about what your rights are and make sure you understand what protocols you should be taking. The other thing you can do is obviously contact legal aid. My guess is you may qualify for reduced legal help to work out a payment plan and address that issue. If he is illegally trying to evict you, we certainly can look into that if you file a complaint with our department. But there may be some issues with respect to what his rights are in requiring you to pay rent. And again, we have a nice guy, but we also have people who can mediate these complaints who know the landlord-tenant law really well and can walk you through this. So let me give you the 800 number again. It's 1-800-422-7128. I suggest you call that number and talk to some of our folks in the mediation. I think Michelle might have some thoughts too.
Well, the only thing I want to add is if you get service that your landlord is trying to terminate your tenancy, the process will be that he would tell you that he's terminating for non-payment and a first, second issue. But then the next step, if he wants to proceed, is eviction, and that's a court. And you would get served for that. Don't skip that. Even if you file filed a complaint, you need to attend that. That's where the commissioner or the judge is going to be available. And if there's going to be a plea or kind of a, can I have an alternative, that ruling will be final unless you do an appeals process, which costs. So you need to make sure you don't miss that piece of the process and pay attention and respond to that.
Okay, so call that 800 number, Dave, and hopefully everything will work out well for everyone. Let's go next to Dennis in Milwaukee. Hi, Dennis.
Good morning. Or it's still morning.
Yep, it's still morning.
Yeah, I just get a comment about AT&T. When you call them and you talk to an operator, they barely can speak English. And my inquiry was to ask where they were calling from, and all they would say is offshore. So part of my complaint is AT&T is using offshore sites when you have a problem with their system. And then when you ask for service, it usually takes about a week to get service. And I have my internet and telephone on their service, and, you know, I tell them, I say, hey, I can't wait a week to, you know, have somebody come and look at my phone and the line. And I just had to make two requests for service a couple of weeks ago, and that's what it took. And even the serviceman, I talked to him, and he said even they have trouble talking to these operators. So I don't know if anybody's aware of that, but I just wanted to pass that on.
Okay, thank you, Dennis.
Yes, thanks, Dennis, for calling. AT&T is entitled to use companies offshore, and there are a lot of companies in the United States that have their call centers in India and other places. That doesn't mean that they don't have to provide the services that they're required to provide you under the contract. So if you continue to have problems with getting the services that you need in a timely fashion, I encourage you to file a complaint with the department, and we certainly can try to work with the company and see that you're getting the services that you're entitled to under the contract. That's where we would encourage you to do that.
Okay. And let's go now to Diana in Madison. Hi, Diana.
Hi. I am still one of those people who is not getting a decrease in phone calls. And I will get up to like one every half hour in the evening. And some of them are just, again, those streams of numbers, and some say a city and state, like, you know, Staten Island, New York, and something. And if they just ring and then I don't answer, but there's an answering machine, so I wonder if that counts as picking it up. But I don't pick them up anymore. I used to, and there was nobody on the line. There was nothing. And then I heard on your show that's what they're waiting for, is just that number is connected to somebody, and so they'll keep calling. And the rate has stayed the same. It's just ridiculous how many I will get every day. And I was wondering if I can, what do I do about that?
The question I have for you, Diana, is do you have a traditional landline, or are you working off of a voice over internet protocol or a cell phone?
Traditional landline.
Yeah. So with this new legislation that's in place, landlines, because of the type of technology that's being used for the authentication, it's going to take longer for the landlines to roll out because they're two different types of technologies for those phones. So your decrease in calls will hopefully come later this year as the telecommunications providers are still working that out and putting those systems in place and making them work together, if you will. So we need you to use our traditional methods of trying to decrease the calls, which is everything you mentioned. Try not to answer. Hang up if you do. Don't respond or hit buttons if they're asking you to hit 1 to talk to rep or 9 to get on their internal do not call list. You know, ignore all of those things. Do not engage or trust any caller ID that you may have. I wouldn't worry about your answering machine picking up. That's a good method because you won't engage. Just let that happen. You can maybe put it on kind of a larger ring if you have that option. Instead of a 2 or a 4, make it a 6 ring before it picks up, because they may hang up before that But that's if that won't drive you crazy listening to those rings. So there's that. But, you know, they're working on the traditional landline technology for this Traced Act.
Okay, good to know. Thank you for the call, Diana. Do you have a question about some kind of consumer protection problem? Do you think you might have been scammed? Do you want to know something about maybe protecting yourself? Give us a call. Lots of lines open here. 800-642-1234. And you can always send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's go to Tom in Milwaukee. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. My wife is on Medicaid, and she's in a nursing home. And I received a call about a week ago from a company in Illinois offering to help me with the annual renewal that's necessary for the Medicaid. And I just wonder if you've heard of this type of thing before. It's, you know, you have to disclose a lot of personal, financial, and personal identification information as part of the Medicaid process. So I'm just wondering if you've heard of anybody trying to scam that way. It sounds very suspicious to me. Go ahead.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom, thanks for your call. Yes, it is very suspicious. It's most definitely a scam, and I would not respond. When there's a Medicaid renewal time period, we see a lot of scammers who are calling and trying to elicit information from consumers, their financial information, all of their personal information. And you're very right to be suspicious and not provide that information to them. So if you do have concerns about Medicaid and you do think there is something you should be doing, you should use trusted phone numbers that you know are going to get you to the right source for that information. And certainly the Department of Health and Services here in Wisconsin can get you all the information you need to know about renewing Medicaid, but certainly do not provide that kind of information to an unsolicited phone call asking to help you.
Okay, good luck with that, Tom, and great observation. I think, as you had mentioned earlier, we're just getting a little smarter, aren't we?
Yes, glad to hear it.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about the 2020 census before. It's coming up fairly quickly, isn't it? Why don't you talk about the process of getting these temporary census positions? Because I know they're advertising all over the place.
So, right. So the census is coming up, and actually, this is actually a pretty good job. I've seen a couple postings for these jobs, and the salary or the pay, the hourly pay, keeps going up. They're not getting enough. Application. So we encourage folks to apply because it looks like a really good job. The FTC is partnering with the Census Bureau to help us guard against potential scams, though, around these jobs. Like everything, anytime the government is soliciting things from us, scammers come in and try to impersonate them. So knowing how the recruiting and hiring process works is going to help you spot and avoid any of these scams so you can report them to us. The Census Bureau is recruiting about hundreds of thousands of temporary field workers and office positions all around the country, and the pay rates are going to vary by position and by location. So there are two main tips that you should know. There's no fee to apply for this position. Anyone who asks you for a fee to help you get a Census Bureau job is a scammer, and you should not engage. In fact, you never have to pay for information about job vacancies or employment opportunities with the U.S. government. So anytime that comes up, you should ignore that. Go to the Census Bureau's website at 2020census.gov/jobs in order to complete an application for one of these jobs. The only way to apply for a job for the 2020 census is through this website. There's an online application and it includes questions about your education, work, and other experience. You'll need to give the following information before you get started. That's your social security number, your home address, an email address, and a date of birth. But be sure to do that through the website that we've just told you, 2020census.gov/jobs, in order to apply. It's the only place you can apply.
And make sure when you look up in that web address bar that that's what you see, right? Because you can click on some stuff if you just Google that might not be legitimate.
That's right. Yeah. That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
So be careful about that. Let's go back to the phones now. Jane in Manitowoc. Hi, Jane. What question do you have for us?
Well, it's about cell phone contractors overcharging. You know, we recently had purchased one of these buy one, get one free contracts. We've been with the carrier for 10 years. And for about 3-4 months, they were charging us $600 when our contract was supposed to be $150. And I've called them several times, argued with them several times. They offered to give us a $100 credit, then a $300 credit. And it's like, no, I want you to give me a credit for the total amount you overcharged me. How do I get that?
Sounds like you are definitely at the stage to file a complaint. So you've definitely done a lot of back and forth with the company and we'll want you to file a complaint and provide all that if you have things in writing, provide that documentation. If you can see the credits on billing statements, provide those. Otherwise, being sure you just give us a timeline, a chronology of the interactions you've had, if you have that available in your notes and things. And you can file that complaint directly on our website and upload the documents after you hit submit to the complaint. They'll allow you to do an upload, but that is at datcp.wi.gov, or call the hotline and they'll send out a form for you, and that is 1-800-422-7128. But if there was a particular promotion that you were eligible for, and it's for, you know, phones at a particular rate for a particular amount of time, and that's not being honored, that's exactly what we are there for and do in our laws cover.
So thank you for that call, Jane. I just bought a phone myself, and luckily I looked at my bill the first time, and they had put on something that I hadn't ordered, which was protection for the phone. It happens a lot. So people really need to look at their bills, don't they?
They really do. And if that were to happen where you hadn't just had the situation and all of a sudden they add a service to your thing that's not authorized, that's got a name. It's called cramming. Mm-hmm. It's putting small little bits and pieces on your cell phone bill or even your credit card bill. When all of a sudden you start having packages, regardless of what they are, and especially if they're reoccurring monthly fees, you want to pay attention to all those things and deal with them right away.
Look at your bills. Thank you, Jane. Next up is John in Milwaukee. Hi, John. What's your concern?
Hi. Kind of a twofold question. So from what I understand, the city of Milwaukee has contract obligations with a few private ambulance providers, and for whatever reason, they're not able to maintain their staffing, causing extremely long waiting times for people that basically need a ride to the hospital. In the meantime, how it's been explained to me is that the fire department is supposed to fill that void with the resources that they have. So I'm wondering, at what point would it become a problem for me? Let's say I needed an ambulance ride to the hospital. 30 minutes is obviously an extremely long wait. Where would I file a complaint, or what would the state do about something like that?
So the ambulance service and responder issues are typically handled by the Department of Health Services, and that is where you'd begin. They contract out for certain things. Other things happen at the county or municipal level of the situation. So I think the first place to touch and reach and ask your questions would be the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and then they will better be able to tell you if they have a reach into this situation or if it's going to be at the county or municipal level there. So I don't have a phone number. If you call our hotline, they will likely be able to help you and find one. Or on our website, we do have what's called the Ready Reference Guide. And by category, it provides different agencies and phone numbers. So you could look at that document on our website. And again, it's called the Ready Reference Guide.
Thank you, John. We're talking to Michelle Reinen and Lara Sutherland from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. What questions do you have for them? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And this is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, Melinda Myers will be with us in the first hour. We'll talk to her about choosing and caring for Valentine's Day plants and flowers. And then at 12, we'll talk about using grains in your garden. Join us at 11 or catch the first hour again at 6 a.m. on Saturday. Or you can always go online and listen at any time. Right now, of course, we are talking about consumer protection. I wanted to ask you real quick, you know, I just mentioned Valentine's Day, which is next Friday, by the way, everyone, you've been warned. let's talk a little bit about those romance scams. What do we know about them?
We know they're persistent.
Yes, they
and
are.
They keep changing and morphing. So romance scams are scams where scammers are targeting some of the more vulnerable people in our community. People who are in a transition, you know, they've lost a loved one, a spouse, they're divorcing. They tend to be more vulnerable to this type of scam because they're looking for companionship. And that is when these scammers pounce. They will set up a fake web, you know, a fake identity on a dating site. Oftentimes they'll say they're in the military, they're overseas for some reason. In the southern parts of the states, you hear they're on oil rigs a lot. In any event, they're lonely too, and they connect with you and pulling on your heartstrings. They start to tell you really quickly that they're in love with you. That's a big red flag. And then out of the blue, they're starting to ask you for money. They're asking you for money to pay their rent. They're asking you for money in order to come see you. They're asking you for money to give money to a charity or some of the examples that we've seen. So those are all red flags, and they keep happening. And frankly, there's a lot of lonely people out there. So when we talk about the scam, people sometimes think, oh, I'd never fall for that. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised if you found yourself at a period in your life where you really wanted connection because you just lost your loved one, what you might do. So one of the things that we tell folks is if you've never actually met the person online and they start telling you they love you and they want money, that's probably a sign of a scam. But also we tell people just talk to your family and friends that you trust about who you're communicating with online. And when you hear and when there are things that you are a little bit suspicious, like the person that you've met never really wants to meet you in person and they always have an excuse, check in with the people you care and you trust and find out if that makes sense. And certainly never give away money to somebody online that you've never met.
Right. Okay. You deserve better. So
absolutely.
Be cautious. Let's go back to the phone. We've got Margaret in Stoughton who has something for us. Margaret?
Good morning. I just wanted to tell you about a discovery we made on our daily newspaper delivery. It's not exactly a scam because they do tell you about it in little print at the bottom of the email. We thought the price we get daily newspaper delivered, and we thought the price was getting pretty high. And we noticed in little print at the bottom of their email that there's three different prices, silver, gold, and platinum. And we did not know we were paying the platinum, which was the most expensive. When we noticed it, we called them and they changed it with no problem. They did it right away. But the price was about $60 more than the lower price. So we just didn't have any idea there were three different price levels for getting your newspaper.
Yeah, we're hearing about this a little bit more from consumers over the course of time, and that the special promotion pricing might be on like the Thanksgiving paper and different things. So that will change a subscription. And it's something we're definitely looking at. So Margaret, if you'd be willing to file a complaint, that's something we would want to see from consumers who are concerned with this issue. And it wasn't brought, you know, directly to their attention through any other kind of communication. So again, you can call 1-800-422-7128 to have a complaint form sent or go online at datcp.wi.gov.
Okay, great. Thank you for letting us know about that, Margaret. Next up is Arlene, and she's in New Berlin. Hi, Arlene.
Good morning. The reason I called is because I know Larry and a couple of other people have had the same reoccurring situation. And, you know, it kind of upsets me because it's a really smart solution. It's about those robocalls. I'm 80 years old. I have a house phone. It's with Spectrum. And I have voicemail. And I have identity on my television so I know who's calling in and who's not calling in. I've made a practice of having four rings on my voicemail machine, and that's my primary machine in my office. And if nobody leaves me a message, they can call all they want. If they don't leave me a message, they don't get a call back. And I don't get up and answer my voicemail machine every single time it rings because I can go look at it if you leave me a message, and I will call you back. And I don't understand why. It's a simple procedure, and people wouldn't have that problem, I don't think, so many calls, that if they would just have the patience, wait for the person to answer, and then you can always call them back. Because I'm not always in my house, but I'm not out all the time either. So that is one of the – and I do have, caller ID, and I have it where you are on that do not call list, but it seems like they get in anyway. So that's just one little tip I wish some most people, especially the older people, would – take to heart because it saves a lot of getting up and down all the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlene.
Arlene, that's great advice. Maybe you should be on the show with us next time. I agree, and I'm curious if the numbers of if your calls have gone down since you haven't been answering it. I did want to say one thing that you mentioned, which is the no-call list. That a lot of times people think that if they get on the no-call list that that's actually going to have an effect on these spoofing and scamming calls. The no-call list is designed for really legitimate businesses that want to legitimately sell you and market something to you, but they only want to call people who want to be called. And so they get a list from the state who is willing to get marketing calls, and that's what the no-call list is. It has no effect on somebody who's trying to impersonate the government and call you and steal your money any more than putting a sign in your front yard saying, "Don't rob me," stops people from robbing you. So we encourage people to be on the no call list, but it really doesn't affect the spoofing calls that you're getting. And what your suggestion is, not to answer it and let it go to voicemail, is the best thing to do for a landline. So thanks for calling in with that tip.
And in relation to that, we had Tim in New Berlin who emailed. It says that he receives a robocall. He usually picks up and immediately hangs up. He doesn't want to listen to it continue to ring, but he never speaks to the caller. Is this a good idea?
We encourage them not to answer the call because when you answer the call, it can indicate in some instances that it's a live line and it will mean that you will continue to get calls in the same way that if you hit a button, they know that it's a live line and they'll continue to call. So if you can avoid it, that would be great. Certainly, cell phone calls have a button that says decline. You can just hang up right away, and that might be useful too. But we just encourage folks to ignore them, and oftentimes that'll have an effect on how many calls you're getting in the future.
Okay. And next up is Bob, and Bob is in Franklin. Hello, Bob.
Oh, hi. My mother is 90 years old. She's blind, and she's having memory problems. She's got a lot of money invested in a place called Stifel. Now, the advisor at Stifel keeps trying to get her to sign a document that says that she has read the agreement, she understands the agreement, and she agrees with everything in it. But he won't show us the agreement.
Doesn't sound like a good idea to sign that, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, depending upon how your mother's doing in different areas, it might be time to have some some forms and provisions where you can become, you know, a power of attorney or have some oversight to see some things. And that's going to be able to stop situations where they just rely on her to sign things. But that information, if she wants it shared, should be able to be shared with others. And if they're not willing to do that, that is a really big indicator of concern.
Right. That power of attorney and medical power of attorney, very important for all of us.
Well, and, you know, there are provisions in different consumer protection laws that say if you're of a different language and they want you to sign a contract, the contract needs to be provided in that language and not just the English language. And with blind situation, there needs to be a way for her to be able to validate that someone isn't just reading something else and versus signing something else. And that could be having a second party review that. So that's a real concern.
And a legitimate business should be more than happy to provide that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bob, for that call. Next, let's go to Racine. Hi, Danny.
Hi. I'm a cybersecurity analyst, and a lot of things that I notice with the big clients or even small clients are when they get a call in and stuff like that, dealing directly with the person is usually not the best way to handle it. If you can get the onus off the possible scammer and rather call back the company via a number that you go and find, be it looking on, you know, Google or whatever, finding the number and calling them, scammers won't be able to, you know, intercept that anyway, and you'll get the actual people that you're trying to talk to.
Okay, Danny, thank you very much for calling. Let us know about that. Do you agree, Laura?
Absolutely. We oftentimes see these calls, and they're impersonating not only a company but the government, the Social Security Administration. So don't engage. If you have a question, hang up and call a trusted phone number and make sure you're talking to the individual you want to be talking to.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Danny. We've been talking with Michelle Reinen and Laura Sutherland from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Do you have a question? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. We are always looking for your input. Stay with us. We'll be back with more after this look at the news. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thanks for listening to the Ideas Network. We're talking about consumer issues with our guests from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection today. Laura Sutherland is the administrator for the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, and Michelle Reinen is a policy advisor with the Consumer Protection Agency. Also, do you need advice on how to handle a consumer problem? Do you think that you may have been scammed? Well, give us a call, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email, and that's ideas@wpr.org. And we've got our lines full, but keep the number handy so you can call in. We did want to talk about a couple of other things before we go to those calls. This is the first time we've talked to you in 2020, and that year number has been causing a little bit of problem or may cause a problem. Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, this is just really advisory things we're encouraging consumers to think about and do. And, you know, in the past, we'd had 2019, so you could just sign your check or your document 6-12-19, and there you think you have the date with the year. But now if you do that 6-12-20, well, it was 2019. I mean, someone could backdate something instead of being 2020, or leave it open to 2021 and extend something. So it's really important now that you use all four digits for the year. Checks, contract documents, you know, really anything that you're signing. Now, a lot of checks, if you still write them, I'm still a writer of checks, they come pre-printed with the 20. So great, you can just throw in the 20 because they'll last you a long time now. But other situations, being very cautious about that because you don't want to be defrauded in that way where, again, a loan document or something is being extended or predated situation because someone's just tacking on a number at the end. And it's a new situation for us that we haven't had before, but we just need consumers to be thorough, and that will help them in any situations down the road.
So it's just good to be aware.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to those full phone lines. Nick in Fond du Lac, you're next.
Oh, I'm fired up. So I went to Home Depot and I bought a washer because ours went down south.
Uh-huh.
And I paid over $1,000 for this washer. And the guy's like, you know, you should really buy the extended warranty just to be safe. Like, okay, so I paid $300 for that. Well, the problem started like the day I got it. Like, I'm in delivery. I work for a company. We've got a city named after us. That's how big of a company we are. These guys that showed up, they're like, I said, you got to take some jackets off the coat rack or you're going to scratch it. Nope, we know what we're doing. We're professionals. Like, okay. They got it down in the basement and they stretched the slide up bad. Like, I called Home Depot. I said, I don't want this washer. I said, you know, I said, they delivered it a half an hour ago. I don't want this. Nope. Once you buy the washer, it's yours. There's no returns on it. I was pretty hot about that. I'm like, whatever, that's fine. I called Samsung. They gave it a $100 credit. Well, now the thing is it's making this huge, huge racket when it's in the spin cycle. So I called Samsung, and they just wouldn't talk to me. So I called the Home Depot manager. He wouldn't talk to me. He's like, not my deal. You got to call Samsung. So finally we get the Samsung guy out, and he ran it without anything in it. He's like, sounds good to me. I'm like, the only time it makes a noise is when there's a load in there. So, I mean, I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, I asked Home Depot. I said, I paid $300 for the extended warranty. And they're like, that's after the manufacturer's warranty. We're not doing anything until the manufacturer's warranty runs out. So I'm just kind of like running in a circle here. $1,000 paperweight.
That sounds frustrating, Nick. What should he do?
That sounds like a job for our mediation and complaint unit. So, Nick, it does sound frustrating. And certainly you pay for a warranty and you have a warranty and there was a problem with the delivery. So there could be a number of issues and a number of culprits. So why don't you give a call to our 1-800 number 422-7128 or go to the website at dagcap.wi.gov and file a complaint online. And let's see if we can help you get that issue resolved.
Okay, good luck, Nick. Let's go next to Rosie in Ashland. Rosie, you there?
Yes, I am.
What can we help you with today?
The woman who called in and gave good advice for older people, but many of us, especially diabetics, can't see to push the right button to do the caller ID or the message, and so we don't use those, and we certainly can't read the numbers on the TV screen.
Okay, Rosie, thank you.
Yeah, I think Arlene was just providing alternatives for people that work well, and she's right, they can. They won't work for everyone. So I think, Rosie, for you, the situation is if you can wait to see if a voicemail is left and it's a friend or family member and you want to pick up, if you have that kind of answering machine. Or the situation is if you answer the phone and it's an automated call that you just hang up the phone and don't engage in that. There's a combination of tools that people can use. And again, if you have a landline, hopefully this traced process, this caller authentication will come and start to minimize those calls for you as well. If you have the other options where you're voice over internet or you have a smartphone or cell phone, that those protocols will be put in place sooner and you'll start to see those calls minimized there. But there's lots of alternatives, and Arlene, I think, was just expressing some that work really well for her.
Thank you, Rosie. Next, we have Jake in Madison. Hi, Jake.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is a timely program for me. I just lost my wallet this last weekend, and so I've been spending the last few days replacing everything. Debit card and all that. One dilemma though is that I was carrying my old Medicare card, which I'd had since 1980, and the new one that I had, which had all the complex numerals and numbers on it. So now not only is the new number out there, but the old one, which had my Social Security card number with the A after it. So now all that info is out there. What would I do? Do I need to get a new, I guess I can't get a new Social Security number, but what would you advise?
So I think, Jake, one thing that you'll first, what I want to do is use your situation as a reminder for everyone to, you know, clean out your wallet and check things. And if you had the new, if you're on Medicare and you got the new card, get that old one out of there, shred it, destroy it, because it has that Social Security number on it. If you're carrying around your Social Security card and you're not regularly applying for jobs, put that in a safe place as well. But your specific situation, Jake, if you lose either your Social Security card or your old Medicare card that has that number on it, I think reporting it to Social Security Administration is your first step. You're right. They rarely replace numbers, but they hopefully will put you on, and you can sign up online to monitor your earnings statement. And there you will be able to see if there's unusual or suspicious activity. The other step that you can take if you haven't already is to lock down your credit report, putting a security freeze or a credit freeze in place. And that's with the credit reporting agencies. And we have those details on our website, or you can call our hotline and they'll tell you how to do that. But that will lock down your credit report from any thief who tries to use your number to open an extension of credit. So those are a couple of things you can do. Contact Medicare. Let them know your new number's out there and see if they can get you a replacement card with a replacement number and how they want to proceed with that as well. But call 1-800-422-7128. Talk to our hotline representative. They may patch you through to an ID theft assistance team member to give you more details and talk through the situation. But we'll get you some documents and in ways, a path to go.
Okay, and next up, let's go to Sharon, and Sharon is in Minocqua.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question or comment?
A while ago, I received a call, a robocall, saying that they were going to send me something for my computer. I don't even remember what it was, because she talked rather rapidly. And they would send it, and I would have to pay for it unless I called a certain number, which she did repeat, but again, it was very rapid, and then she hung up. What do I do if I get something in the mail?
Sharon, that's a scam, and you should not do anything. If you get something in the mail, you shouldn't call anyone. And that, I'm glad you called in, because this is the sort of the technique that some scammers use, that they're threatening you that you'll be charged if you don't carry out a certain step or call something. That is an illegitimate way to do business, and it's a very big indication that someone is trying to steal your money. So if you get anything in the mail, I would just ignore it. And I would also talk to somebody in your family or loved ones if you need any support in understanding what's coming in the mail to you. But if you get a call like that again, you should just hang up, not engage. And if you get anything in the mail, you can ignore that.
Okay, thank you very much, Sharon. Before we go back to the phones, you know, it's about time for spring break traveling, and lots of people are going to be booking airfare and hotel lines or hotels online, especially. What can go wrong, Michelle?
Well, a lot could go wrong, and that's what we don't want to have happen. So we want consumers to be cautious of redirection. And that is, if they are looking online for that great deal, that remember the old adage, too good to be true, it probably is. So don't fall for those deep dive discounts and great offers. And don't click on those ads or links to be redirected to these potentially fraudulent or imposter websites. There are good deals for travel out there, and you want to find those with reputable parties. It might be directly with a hotel package. It might be directly with a travel agency, or it could be with some of these travel clubs or more consolidated travel packages that are out there that we see tons of ads for all the time. And they piece together those deep discounts. But we encourage encourage consumers to pay by credit card because that way they'll have protections if things aren't as represented. Always be verifying the location where you're going to be staying. And what we could see there are Craigslist ads or fraudulent Airbnb type promotions where someone is just putting out a fake posting for a luxurious resort and wire me the money and I'll leave the keys in the mailbox when you're coming. And all they've done is lift a picture off of a different website and put this promotion out there and you show up and there's no home there. Either the person you've done business with doesn't own the home and has nothing to do with it, or there's just like a garbage can there. You know, there is nothing on that land. So you need to actually verify things as you go through the process and before. And if you're asked to wire money or pay by gift card, that's incredibly suspicious. It's the leading fraud payment methods reported to the Federal Trade Commission for 2019, wiring money is. So you know that's a big red flag and an indicator there. Always get your confirmation numbers and information and then go ahead and verify with the end source. You might be using a travel package and they're doing all the bookings for you. But go ahead then and call the hotel and make sure that reservation has transmitted all the way through to the end and that there's actually a room. You're not on a list for a closet, you know, type situation. And I say that because I went on a trip and I was actually standing right there when someone went to go check in, but it never transmitted to them and they didn't have a room. And we were on top of a mountain. So they had a long, dark drive down the mountain at the end of the day, miles back type situation, because they had no room at the inn. They were booked a solid. And during spring break, you see a lot of that. So, you know, use that gut instinct. Be skeptical of things. Check them out and watch for those warning signs. And then we hope everyone has great success for spring break travel.
Absolutely. I think that's such a great idea that I didn't even think about, is calling the airline, calling the hotel directly to make sure that they have your reservation and you had a ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, let's go next to Jeff in Door County. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I, about a year and a half ago, went into Walmart and applied for a Walmart card to buy a TV. My application was rejected, and I was surprised because of my credit score, and it was because I had put a credit freeze on, which I now understand applies to me as well. And so it showed up on my credit report, but it showed up as a hard inquiry rather than a soft. And so it dinged my credit report. It hasn't come off. And there's, when I try to call Walmart, the credit card number bureau, it's an automated service that requires me to put in my account number in order to get to a human being. And I don't know how to get this off my credit report.
It's always kind of tricky, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Jeff, I think that, well, I know that you can call the credit rating agencies and contest issues on your credit report. So I understand that you're having trouble with Walmart because you don't have a card and they're asking you to put the card in. So is that what you're saying? That's the issue?
Correct. Yeah. And the other one is that they it was a hard inquiry, which is, I thought that the credit card applications were soft inquiries.
Well, we don't do credit in our area specifically, but you were trying to take one out. But the fact that you had a freeze on shouldn't interfere because you weren't rejected because of your credit worthiness. So that's the complicating factor that confuses me here. So I think, you know, there's different sources. You can always file the complaint with Consumer Protection, but we will likely refer it to the Department of Financial Institutions or maybe the
Department of Financial Institutions?
No, well, the CFPB.
The Consumer Protection, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
It's all confusing.
Yeah, that's right. That's the federal level that deals with those issues. But, you know, I think you have resolved your resources in trying to take care of this yourself, that you'll need to put some things on paper for us to work with our partners to try and help you resolve the situation.
Sounds like something that should be able to be resolved fairly easily, don't you think?
Well, I'll just add that there was a settlement with the credit rating bureaus a couple years ago because there is a concern about
false information, and there are new protocols in place for that's supposed to make it easier for you to get false information off of your credit report. So do file a complaint and do contact the credit bureaus. They should have a mechanism for you to challenge what's on your credit report.
But I think it's a good opportunity broadly away from his individual situation to remind people what that credit freeze does or security freeze. And it locks down your credit. And his example shows he couldn't take a card out himself. And that is exactly how it's supposed to work. So when you want a new credit card or when you are trying to get a loan with a bank, you need to use your PIN and your password to thaw in advance or thaw specifically for them, that entity that you're trying to get credit from, and know who they're going to tap into to check so it's ready for them to get that report. It worked perfectly, but now it's had this impact on the back end, which we haven't heard of a lot. So just be prepared with your information when you go and need or want new credit.
And what's nice too is you can unthaw it for unthaw. Can you tell I'm from Wisconsin here? You can thaw it for just like a week or a month or for a short period of time, and it'll just go right back. So it's not like you have to even really go back in and put the freeze on
again. And it's within an hour that they'll thaw it. You know, before it could be up to 3 days before it would happen. But within an hour, they can thaw that now. So it's really advanced.
Yes. And there's three places you have to do that, right? There's three reporting places.
Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, each of the three major credit reporting agencies. But again, when you're working with your lender, you know which one they want. So you would maybe only have to thaw one. But if you're going after a mortgage, they're usually looking at two or three. So you're going to have to do that. And if it's a spousal situation, it's both of you. So it's good. It's free, but it takes a little time investment.
Sure. Let's just take one more call here. Janet in Delavan. Hi, Janet.
Hello.
What can we help you with?
Well, I was just going to tell you about a situation that I had recently, just in the last couple of weeks. I turned three different calls, one at noon and one day and later on in the evening the next day, and then another one the next week. And they seem all to be related. The young man's voice sounded the same. He sounded foreign. But he had three different rather generic American-sounding names, like Joe Bailey and somebody Wilson and whatever else. But supposedly, well, with the first one I said supposedly won $2.7 million from Publishers Clearinghouse. And in order to collect that, I had to send someone. I didn't get all the information.
Sure,
I knew it was a scam from the get-go. But a couple of gift cards from... Yeah, from Walgreens. They want to send you to a Walgreens for some reason. And I told them, nope, I'm not doing anything because it's a scam. And you should find I wish you'd find a better way to earn your living. And he hung up. And in the evening they called back and asked if I had heard anything from anyone about, you know, winning a prize. And I said, oh, yes, just this noon. And he said, and why didn't you call back? Or why didn't you act on that? And I said, because it's a scam. And he said, no, it's not. And I said, oh, yes, it is. According to the Wisconsin Department of Consumer Protection, anytime you have to pay anything for a prize, it's a scam. And he hung up. And then a week later, somebody else called about something, and it was, you know, and I had won $2.5 million and a Mercedes-Benz and a $50,000 bonus, and but the same deal, you had to buy that.
Sure, Janet. And we're kind of running out of time here, Janet. So basically, you use the consumer protection name, and they hung up. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for telling us. Now, should Janet, that was great that worked, but should Janet really have even engaged with them?
We think not, actually. And they probably kept calling back because she was engaging. So while we're glad that Janet didn't get taken advantage of, our suggestion is you just don't engage at all. As soon as you think it's a scam, you should hang up the phone and not talk to people because they'll try to figure out what is going to make you believe them. And they'll keep trying. Okay. So
ignore those calls if you don't know where they're coming from. And if you pick up the phone, hang up.
Okay. Well, thank you once again, ladies, for giving us so much information. We've been talking with Laura Sutherland and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They'll be back with us on April 2nd. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, Melinda Myers is going to be with us for the first hour, and then we're going to talk to her about choosing and caring for Valentine's Day plants and flowers. And then at 12, we're going to be talking about using grains in your garden, a little bit different way to make things look a little more interesting. Thanks so much for joining us today. I am Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network.